Okay, I think I figured out the issue with this voice recorder. It's that I'm consciously thinking about how much time I'm not talking while the device is recording and accumulating that in my head. And when I accumulate how much data I collect from speaking, meaning ideas and random blah blah, in contrast to how much in my mind only, as I have not really mapped out any of this scientifically at all, like I just haven't done that. Okay, it looks like I'm gonna mostly be waiting for this guy. See, and this, even this right here, where I'm pulling into a driveway, I shouldn't even be on this thing in the first place. But I feel like, this is like a labyrinth of men, trailers, a few cigarettes, some Mountain Dew, and some Orange Crush. I think guys like sweets more than girls do. Like, honestly, I don't know if it's a girl thing. I really feel like it could be a... I'm going the wrong way on a one-way. That's not healthy either. But that's okay. So I'm contrasting the difference between how much time I'm actually talking and how much time in my mind I'm thinking that I'm not talking, when I haven't even calculated those. I haven't calculated either of those things. So for me to make the decision to not record for fear of collecting no data, more than data, even though I haven't even collected the data on how much data I'm collecting in contrast to the time frame of space that exists with no data in it. So here we are. We're at the beginning of something that has to be known only to the degree that it actually gets us moving in a direction, because we don't want to be sitting still. When we're sitting still, that's when all of those repetitive thoughts, or, and I don't mean sitting still like not being able to be still or be calm or be present in a really soft, gentle, full earth body contact kind of way. I'm talking about when you're sitting there and not making a decision to move forward because of something that you haven't even tested, that's just fucking ridiculous. And I'm saying that because I'm looking at my own ridiculousness in this moment. And I've made this same kind of ridiculous... I have met this same kind of... And I'm quoting here, you know, ridiculous. Nothing is ridiculous. The only thing that's ridiculous is if we show up to knowing and then we choose not to know every day after. That's really where the ridiculousness is. The ridiculousness is in seeing it happen and recognizing how much better and how much more happy and how much more bright your life could be if you actually applied it. But you're not applying it because you also realize that when you choose it, you got to go through the crunchy and the unknown and the exploratory spaces and going into things that you've never tried before, which a lot of times in the beginning is fear. But I can tell you, in the end, when you start making those happy choices and, you know, choosing to get out of that space where you're not choosing because of information you haven't even experienced, when you get further into that whole unfolding of yourself, it's a wild, beautiful space of acceptance for you. You really do come to some really deep and profound understandings about just your own self. And boy, I'll tell you, they are... The types of humans there are is as many as there are. The language that we use, you know, the other day I was talking to a couple of kids, 2 8-year-olds, a 7-year-old, and a 10-year-old. There was also a 35-year-old parent and myself who was 37. And at some point in the conversation, we started asking who spoke what languages. And one boy at the table jumped right into it. He was 10 and said, "I speak Spanish and English." Well, that whole conversation blew over and we went into money and politics and, you know, the usual the usual chats we have with our children. But I'm always asking these questions from the perspective of trying to see where information comes from before it's been conditioned to such a severe degree that it doesn't know how to let go to answer the question. Children are already let go. They never had to grip onto anything. They're like free agents, and that's good shit. So, after a couple other conversations, we ended up back on the languages because I said, well, you know, all I know is you're speaking 10 to me and I'm speaking 37 back to you. And those are two completely different spaces of experience. You can't tell me one thing about my day, can you? And I might be able to tell you something about your day, but it's going to be real plastic. It's going to be like, you go to school. But what exactly do you do in that building? I can't even comprehend that. I can imagine because I've seen little kids walking around and you know, being a body. But that's about as far as it goes. I can't imagine what they might be thinking. They might be thinking something like, I got to go to the bathroom, maybe. I don't really want to go in the classroom. I'm just going to take the long way around. I'm going to take the long hallway walk around. And if I get caught, this is my excuse. You know, any of those thoughts, I can conjure those thoughts up. Not because I'm thinking that those kids are actually thinking that, but because in that moment when I'm looking at that kid, I can actually imagine myself having been in that spot before. So I'm imagining me in that spot doing what I'm remembering myself doing and applying it to this moment where I'm questioning what this kid might be doing. Obviously, I don't do that anymore. I used to do that. Now I more or less just kind of look and ask questions. That's pretty much all there is to it. The assumption route doesn't work. The speculation route doesn't work. Not choosing because you've never tried before, even though the thing you've never tried before is the thing that's preventing you from choosing. I am pretty sure that that will time and time again show you the silliness of yourself. And that's the other key factor, people. Like, funny. Be funny. Be funny and assume everyone else is being funny. And if for a moment someone decides that they don't want to be funny, or you know, they look like they're not funny and it draws you into not being funny, still know that in the end, what your base foundation should be is that it's all one, and that the only real job that we have in these moments that feel difficult and that feel uncertain is to just bridge between what we know about our own divine self and what we never knew we never knew. I don't know where I stand in the grand scheme of things when it comes to conscious awareness. I don't even think about that. But I do consider that there's someone that knows a hell of a lot more than I do. And I also consider that there's someone that might be really interested in all of the information that I know, because they don't know the information that I have that they want. So it's not about knowing more or less in comparison with one another. It's more about knowing more or less in comparison with yourself. Who next do you want to teach? Do you want to teach the same students for the rest of your life? Is that what your goal is? Because ultimately what you're doing when you're choosing to learn about yourself, going through all of those changes and adapting to them, and standing outside of the whole situation and looking at the beauty of the evolution of you, and then be able to step off the planet and look back at the entire globe and all the history that's been collected, all the data that's been collected, all of the knowledge and all of the stories and all of that stuff. If you can't stand there and be in awe at the power that you have, you need some serious tools somehow available to you so that you can find your way through to that space because it exists. The only reason I know it exists is because I've seen it. I've done this imagery. I've moved myself off of this space. I've taken an opportunity to get out of my body and stand as a star and look back on what is one of the most intense, completely organic organisms. Like, just, I mean, I see global synapses firing. I see excitement over the ocean where voices are meeting one another. And to me, that's just really wild shit. It's really wild. It's really exciting. And it gives me another opportunity to say, okay, this is how I fit into this. This is how I know now how to tend to my own self, because the whole world is showing me how it's trying to learn. The entire world, all at the same time, varying degrees. Every single one of us doing our own thing. Some of us coming in to touch base on, you know, I made a cake today. Some of us coming in to touch base and saying, I just finished my first book. Some of us coming in to touch base and say, hey, by the way, we discovered this new planet. And everybody in between. And I don't mean in between as in stacked up or stacked aside in some sort of hierarchical perspective. What I mean is just all of it right there. Recognizing the power that evolution gives us to say, it's okay, because I'm not going to be yesterday today. Today, I'm going to be today. And after today happens, I'm going to do a quick review and I'm going to look things over. You want to go simple first. Don't try and clean everything up all at the same time. You're going to freak out. That will be an intense challenge, especially if you're all messed up. And when I say messed up, dude, shit just gets messed up. That's just all there is to it. Somehow, consciousness collects to contagions that continue to perpetuate it. And until the organism is aware of what it wants to be conditioned by, it will continue to collect through a natural law of attraction, a magnetism of like to like. And if you don't have tools that show you how to be happy a majority of the time, this is another thing that happened in that. I should probably finish this conversation up, because really now we're kind of getting off track. But so this little boy says, I speak 10. I was like, yeah, I speak 37. The girl's like, oh yeah, I speak 8. I'm like, I speak 7. Oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden the little boy goes, well, actually, I speak Spanish 10 too. And in that moment, I watched the excitement for him having found such an interesting perspective on how to get another language in there. He wanted more. So not only does he speak English 10 and English boy, but he speaks Spanish 10. And if in fact he spent enough time in Mexico, he could potentially learn how to speak Spanish boy as well. So for us to each learn our own dialect so finitely, so intensely, that we're paying attention to what it is we're trying to convey as our message and what it is we'd like to get back. And I've found over the last 15 years that optimism is an intense tool to not only, not blind optimism, I'm talking about the kind where when it's really bad, like really not so good at all and you're ready to give up, just try and smile and remind yourself that no matter what, it is always all right in the end. I don't know how it works out that way. I really just feel like that happens so much more often than not. I don't know a time when something has gone wrong in my life where time passes and everything's okay. But I also choose optimism. Ooh, that is some rich coffee, Adina. Holy. Oh, we've got to take that inside doctored up. Wow. I really took it to the next level. I'm sitting at the gas station over the bridge past the bay. There's a very large American flag and it is dancing like some soft Latin curling around the pole. Yeah. And the sky is wicked blue, like empty of all clouds on one side of my view to the right. And then on the other side, it's just caked with these huge, big, dense rain clouds, none of which are raining. And right up above them is that bright blue sky, and the sun is, I can't even, well, first of all, I can't see it because I just looked into it, and wow, she's a bright one today. But the energy is cool, crisp fall energy. I know it's spring. And now I'm going to go inside and touch up this wild coffee that I made today, because holy cow. And I think I'm going to take the composition book down to the lake. So, since we are only at 16 minutes and I really kind of wanted to ride this whole thing out, I'm going to keep this rolling, and you're just going to have to go along for the ride. And I'm not going to hold you, which means it's probably going to make some noise in my pocket. So sorry. But that's just how it is. I left my keys in my car at the store the other day. Whoa. Somebody's going to take me out. Can you hear the outside? Let's go see if we can catch some birds. Well, not catch some birds, but listen to some. They live in the eaves of the overhang. Oh, the rainbow in the cloud where the sun is just hiding behind it is really sweet. Hey, man. Hey, do you mind if I doctor my coffee up here with a different cream? Because my coffee is so strong, man, that if I drink this, I think I might die.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I'm pretty sure I wasn't going to die. But... so what I'm doing is pouring just a little bit of coffee out of my coffee. And I need water. And then I put a little water in there. That should. Man, I can't stand it. It's too much. And here I am out in public talking to myself. Just so that I can keep something going. I guess I could stand in line and not say anything at all, but I don't know that that really matters either. You should probably know what's going on. Four people back. Got a dude, another dude, and a chick. And then there's me. And then there's a dude behind me. It looks like everybody's getting something different. Alright, I'm gonna put you in my pocket for a few minutes. do you think I can just grab a pack of Parliament Lights? Do credit.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Have a nice day.
Yep, you too.
Wesco Rewards.
You have a Wesco Rewards?
Alright, everybody. Well, we're back in the car. I'm gonna set you up there on the dashboard for a moment. So, I need to take you down by the library. There's such a beautiful little gazebo that sits by the water. That's sometimes where I go to meditate about everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean I have a general sense of the world, but really, I can't comprehend that many people, so I'm pretty sure I'm missing a lot. So anybody else that's out there that's able to create the imagery, we can meditate on the whole world, which is really good stuff. But sometimes it's nice to take people in personally and really get their face in your head and really get their face in your heart and really feel all of the experience that you've manifested with them, in a sense that you have an opportunity to take them into you physically. So you're enhancing the quality of your experience just by choosing to take them in physically, even when you have not even met some of them physically. So I go down to this bay. And I should probably also just... Sometimes I'm not sure if I should even keep saying it anymore. Because I don't even know if that's perpetuating it. But clearly I am a yawner. I yawn all the time. Maybe I need more oxygen. You think that I need more oxygen? That's gotta be it. I bet you I need more oxygen. Oh, wow. That's funny. Well, it's not funny. It's actually kind of sad. I can probably change that. See, here it goes. Now, if I don't change it, if I choose not to change what I think could potentially be changed in order to enhance the amount of oxygen intake, which could potentially aid in the whole reduction of yawning thing. If I don't do that, I'm asking to either say something repetitively, think about something repetitively, or do something repetitively. It's not repetitive if you're putting a new system to it, if you're putting a new set of controls to it, say, okay, now this is how that particular thing is going to function. Now we're going to look at it from this perspective. But if you don't do that, see, like right now, I'd have to be collecting data on how many times I actually yawned. Do I feel like I yawn a lot only because I actually notice my yawning? Well, no, that can't be really, I guess, because other people have noticed my yawning. Other people have mentioned it. I don't see other people running around to other people saying, wow, you're such a yawner, but they say it to me. That's a consistent sentence. Are you tired? People know that about me. So what that means, I don't know. But it's been there since I can remember, so... Well, not since I can remember, but... I feel like I started in my 20s. I was a pretty hardcore partier in my 20s. Safe. Smart. But I did like to play with some naughty people. And I don't mean naughty, naughty, just so you guys are clear, man. Some people... We gotta remember, words make a world of difference. So if you're thinking something about me that's like... crazy, naughty, dirty, wild, you should probably ask me. Because I can guarantee that, well, and even if it's something where you think wild is like having a pixie stick and sliding down the hill real fast, if that's wild to you, you might be a little off on what wild is to me. Because that's not my wild. That's a good time. I could see a pixie stick, a sugar, and a good fast snow hill as being pretty exciting. But there is more. Anyways, point being, when I say things, for you to even have... This is mostly a show about me telling you about me. Only... in a way that shows you how I'm finding me in an effort to potentially share another possible solution, which is research thyself, in an effort to bring peace and exploratory communication as a first option before all the angry finger pointing and blame gaming. Those are heavy burdens to bear for people. That's just not fair. We're all doing this. Every single one of us, on some degree or another, we are all somewhere attempting to have a life where we thrive. All the while, holy moly. Not only I came the wrong way down the... Wow. I came the wrong way down the block. There's like a whole row of cars that just pulled up going the wrong way down the... And now they're all pulling into some weird garage, some weird driveway. Now they're all talking to each other. And there's only one driver. Well, duh. One driver in each car. And that's not true anyways. It looks like those two cars have two people in them. My, there are so many of them. I wonder where they're going. It's Sunday, though, so they're probably doing something for church. Interesting. Holy cow, there's like 40 cars. And they all have blonde hair. Well, except for that dude. It's dark blonde or dark brown. It's crazy all the different shapes of humans and how they stand, and some with their shoulders forward and some with their shoulders backward, and some with different kinds of sounds and smiles and the clothing that they choose, the games that they play with each other, pulling cars up close together to see how close they can get. Laughing about it. And they do that stuff often. That's a game. And now we got old. Nah, see, this grandpa is probably going to go like, you guys know that. Well, I don't know. He's pretty freaking sporty looking. Dang. This dude's got like yellow silk on and a mohawk. And he's probably about 70. Maybe older. As brilliant as he looks, he's probably like, oh, no, he's not 70. Oh, mate, no, he's probably 70. He's got some fly sandals on, some dope-ass jeans on. Nice frames, too. Styling. He's styling. I don't know what these kids are doing, but they're playing those games. You know, the flirting games and the watch my body walk cool games. Everybody's getting energy drinks and cans of cold coffee. A cool boy just went in to get everyone's attention to let them know that Oh, and he looked at his reflection in the mirror. Or his reflection in the window of the door. Oh, that was so cute. Very strong jaw. Very beautiful lips. Nice nose. Gentle shape on the head. Crew, I guess it is a crew cut. I don't know. It's just a little longer than a military cut. Blonde. Muscular arms. And he did the little grab the front of the shirt. He pulled his shirt on over him and did a little pull the shirt thing in the front of the chest to Oh my gosh, this is absolutely hilarious. So, anyways, where are we? Oh, sweet. We've been talking for a half an hour already. This is pretty good. You can listen to their music. Let's see what they're listening to. Didn't hear it. Didn't hear it now. No, I didn't think so. Well, that's sort of the nature of the beast. But anyways. So yeah, they're doing something. I'm doing something. I'm going to take you down to the bay. And see what happens when we're down there. I like going down there, like I said, because I like bringing people to my heart and my mind. If I can remember a picture that connected us, or if I can remember a conversation that we had, or it doesn't have to be a whole thing. It just needs to be a glimpse of that moment that took place. I'm not here to try and imprint everybody's realities onto me, because we don't have time for that. We just don't have time for that. We've got to just love each moment and then take the essence of those loved moments with us when we're not with one another, so that it reestablishes that quality of experience, so that what we're trying to condition ourselves to understand is that it's great to be happy. It's not about happy sad anymore. Now it's about health. What is my body reacting? If I'm not feeling happy, I'm not taking care of my body. See, now they're going to get into the honking horn game. We'll see how long it takes for them to get out of here. They're all leaving right now. There's like 1, 2, 3, and then there's another horn. Let's see if I can get any of them. 4, 5, 6, 7. That one's got 5 people in it. 8. She's putting makeup on. That's cute. Silverbug. 10, 11, 12. Well, we know why he's definitely riding as he is. 13, 14, 15. Not even close to 40. I must have been looking at all the other cars. There was 40 cars in the parking lot. Of course, now there's like 10 left, so. Maybe it was only 30. Anyways. All right, let's go. I'll go for a little ride. See if we can get out of this gas station parking lot. There she is. Yep. She'll be okay. This car is a trooper, man. I don't know how she does it. I don't even know why that belt is doing that. It might be because it's new rather than old, because it was changed, because it was squealing, because it was old. NM Booster Club. June 17th. Food, music, fun. I like food, music, and fun. Did not do a good job at my coffee at all. But it's good enough to drink for now. Got into an Asperger's conversation, just a brief one. I posted a video, and I have had that come up often in my life. Oh, the bay is beautiful. It's so pretty. I like it. But I'm gonna do an illegal turnaround here. If I can't park the direction I want to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. Un momento, por favor. One time, I remember my friend and I walked to a little Stop and Shop to grab a tea while we were, cold tea while we were going for a walk. And she decided to go into the store. I already knew where everything was and what was going to happen, so I just decided to stay out in the sun and sit with my back against a telephone pole. And I was facing physically northbound. And I closed my eyes and I went into the deep center space of my brain where the pineal gland sits. Now, at the time, I was not into the pineal gland needing to be or participating in or sitting anywhere in my brain space. So this was free of a lot of information. But having had the experience, in my opinion, opened my person, my vibrational pattern, my molecules, all of the parts of me, to being more receptive to having more data find me. It seems like one of the big track records that I can at least attest to with my my own personal phenomenological experience is the consistency of following those intuitive experiences or those imagery patterns that pop up time and time again, or those wow, what just happened, or the deja vus, any of those little blips, little frames of some altered reality or some different dimension or some space. I don't just chalk that up to another scientist telling me what that is about my brain and what it is that it's doing or why it's doing what it's doing. And I trust that the scientists that are studying this have studied this from the particular perspective, in my opinion, where the science ends up unfolding as the mind chooses for it to unfold. So if the mind is choosing for it to unfold in a specific way, as in lumping all human experience into one completed theory, then that's a theory, in my opinion, that's pretty much on the way to being quite archaic very quickly. If it's studied as, here's another option to consider while you're on your journey to better understanding what it is that led you to why you're reading what you're reading now, that seems like some sort of pre-note that could be posted in all of our scientific research, because even science has this sort of, and not all scientists, I'm just saying that there are some that are out there that are wanting to point at it themselves just as much as there are any other ego-driven people out there that want to point to something and have it be their own thing. And this is one of the reasons why it's so easy for me to keep giving whatever it is that I come up with, whatever invention I happen to mention. I don't know if what I'm saying is beneficial for anybody. I don't know if it's helpful for anybody. I do know if there's anybody out there that has similar learning patterns to this Adena thing that's floating around on the planet right now, then it's going to attract to this thing for as long as it needs to in order to get whatever it needs to get so that it can continue to manifest beyond the space where it noticed that weird zap in the first place. So I'm sitting with my face physically north, and I close my eyes and I'm inside my head, and I can hear the traffic behind me, and in my mind I heard from my physical right ear, which was facing east, the car coming and increasing in sound. Going from the right side of my head to the left side of my head with my eyes facing physically forward. Simultaneously, though, in that same exact space, I was able to flip my inner eye all the way around axially to the south direction and catch a glimpse of what it would be like to look at the vehicle coming from the east with my eyes facing south at the same time that I'm looking north and listening from the car coming from the east. So at the same time, I can see the sound and a visual image of the car I've created in my mind crossing into the exact center space of my brain. Crashing into this sort of little explosion, which then, of course, opened my eyes, and I'm like, what the hell just happened to me? How did I just do that? Because I drifted into it. I wasn't really, I mean, I was consciously aware of how things were changing because I had started spending more time, actually watching all of my molecules. It was year three by the time this had happened, when I had started doing what I call molecular restructuring, just not even worrying about any of the problems that I had anymore, but just bringing to thought as often as I could each one of my molecules, as if I were cleaning up each one of them, telling each one of them that I loved them. And there's thousands and thousands of them, so I pretty much can guarantee I'm going to be working on it for the rest of my life. This is the goal I set for myself. Okay, you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life. And then with imagery, I just pulled these little spherical molecules, some of which were, you know, tainted with jealousy, or some of which were tainted with, you know, some other form of conditioning, and, you know, whatever it is, the hate, the violence, the aggression, the mouth, the words, the addictions, any of those things that brought unhappiness. There were little pieces of it, but there were also molecules that looked mostly happy. Like they were pretty okay with their space. And then after a while, most of the molecules were shining and they were beaming and they were happy. This is stuff I created in my head. I invented this plan for me because this is what seems to be my natural draw. This is what I seem to lean most heavily towards. You might not be able to do molecular restructuring like that. You might have to do some sort of floral restructuring where you imagine, you know, as a gardener, that your entire body is your garden, and you tend to it in whatever way you would come up with. I certainly wouldn't want to even begin to embark on an adventure like that. But even dirt, if you're the dirt of your garden, if you're the foundation in your garden, each grain of dirt to be polished, to be tended to be loved unconditionally. This is what we're going through, but this isn't who we are. It just seems like something that we can probably consider now, just to really lay a solid foundation, and then build the stories from there. The stories aren't going to stop coming, and nobody's got the story. Every person's story is like a word in the line of a endless book of open cosmological experience. Like, really. it's just the way it is. You go into spaces to get a little bit of their story, and you find out how little bits of that story are you, and how little bits of that story are not as you as they might seem initially. And then you might even find little bits of that story later on in life, 20, 30 years later, saying, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. I remember 20 years ago when I didn't think that that little bit of the story was even part of my story. And come to find out, it actually is a very serious part of my story, in fact. But either way, I'm gonna close this out. Oh, because I think we made it, people. We made it to 49 minutes, and that's pretty good. I'm pretty sure that 49 minutes of a program is a pretty good program to start out with. I'm going to have to review this, of course, and see if the basic idea got out there. But really, what it boils down to is go with you. To a space where you can have a serious conversation with yourself, yourself, the self that you're living, the self that feels like it's a toy to someone else, or it feels like it's being controlled by someone else, or it feels like it's afraid of someone else, or any of those things that the self is feeling that it's not particularly happy with. That's a space for question. And it's not a space for questioning or speculation or assumption. It's a space for studying and practicing and applying to find that bridge between what you know and what you don't know about that self that you live every single day. And it changes constantly. And you have not been told, in my opinion, the importance of how often it changes. And you should put that on a sticky note on the fridge. You should put that in your car. You should put that on your hand. Wherever it is, it's going to remind you that you are an ever-changing being. And no matter what you see in that mirror every day, you know that if you give yourself 10 years and look again, it's not the same picture. You didn't just magically turn into that aged space. You aged every single second of your life, every breath. Take a breather in. There's nothing that's going to take me away from the irrefutable idea that it's all one thing. Science or not, quantum mechanics has given me a way to communicate the imagery that I've had coming to me since I was probably 2. And that is a wild ride. But quantum physics is an idea just as much as classic Newtonian physics was an idea. We had to create that space. We had to think about it first. And then we had to build it into our reality. And we can do that with everything. We can do anything. If you want to build happiness into your reality, you will find a way. Choose it as the way. Say it to yourself every day if you have to. Wake up. I am happy. I choose happy. I choose to be in a space where I get what's going on. Not I know what's going on. Just I get it. I get the feel of it. I can move with it now. I can start to experience what it feels like to be an axial being, to not point fingers or pass judgment or dole out harsh criticisms because I don't agree with something. The only agreement is that we are all one and we are all working together. And the more people that choose that, the easier the entire experience is going to be. But you got to want to put your hands in there and get dirty, and you got to want to get all those molecules tidied up, all of those atoms of the earth body present at attention and ready to learn something about itself, wanting to compete with nothing but its own progress. Where am I today? How am I doing today? If it feels like there's a slip back, that's not a slip back. Don't forget, you've got that whole body moving in a direction. You want to give it some time. But don't stop convincing yourself that it's possible. Don't stop trying. Don't stop convincing yourself that happiness is a space where you deserve to be. That is something that everyone should be able to experience. Longer and longer periods of time will be available to us, where we get to experience that happiness as we practice. More and more is available. It doesn't end. There new ways of looking at it. New clear visions. If anybody's got one, feel free to get in contact with me. All my information is available. I don't necessarily really feel like I have to say any of it. However, it's nuclearenergy@yahoo.com. And if you're interested in talking about how you're manifesting your new clear vision, then bring it, because I'm pretty sure that getting the word out there about it is what really brings it all to life. And if we've got a new clear vision, in my opinion, I'm pretty sure we should bring that to life. All right, I love y'all. Namaste. Om Tat Tat. And I will catch you on the flip. Peace.